You're listening to the Membership Geeks Podcast, bringing you proven practical tips and advice from the leading experts on growing a successful membership business.
Well, hello there, membershippers. I'm Mike Morrison, your host for the Membership Geeks Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode. If you are new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe in your podcast app. That is the only way to ensure that you do not miss a single weekly installment of proven practical tips and advice that will help you to launch and grow a successful, sustainable membership business. Today, I'm doing something a little bit different, something I've not done for a while, and I'm actually going to bring you a little sample from something we recently did inside Membership Academy. If you're new to our world, if you just discovered Membership Geeks and you don't know what Membership Academy is, it is the number one membership for membership owners. I know, it's a little bit meta, right? But this membership community has helped tens of thousands of membership owners just like you to launch, run, grow, scale, and evolve their memberships over the past decade. We've been doing this since 2015, and we're not stopping. And one of the big things that we do each and every month is to host a community roundtable. So this is a structured, open discussion with our existing membership owners, where we all come together to share advice, experience, tips, and wins around a specific topic each month that is relevant to the world of memberships, with the hope that by tapping into the immense brain power that we have within the Academy community, we can really leverage the experience and the knowledge that each other has in order to get ahead. Because, of course, I've been doing this for the best part of two decades, working with memberships. So I bring a wealth of experience to the table, and that is why I'm blessed to have people like you listening to my show. However, the immense amount of knowledge, the experience, the stories, the lessons that our community have learned. Many people in our community have been running memberships just as long as the Academy has been running. Some have been running theirs even longer. That is unparalleled, unprecedented wealth of knowledge waiting there inside the community to tap into. That's why we run these roundtables. And in the roundtable we ran in August, we talked about AI. AI is, of course, a hot topic for business owners everywhere, for the world, in fact. However, it's very, very easy to get swept up in all of the hype and either get a little overexcited and commit yourself to using AI in ways that don't actually benefit your business, or, on the other side of the coin, to allow some sense of existential dread. AI is going to kill our business. AI is going to take memberships over. AI is ruining the world, all that sort of stuff. So we talked about a lot of things during the member roundtable. If you are part of Membership Academy, you'll be able to rewatch that discussion if you weren't there live. However, there were three things I wanted to share during that discussion that I really want people to realize and recognize and adapt their mentality and their approach to how they use AI. These are three things people often forget about, or they just don't realize about the way AI actually functions. And I think the context is really, really important for making sure that we're being sensible, pragmatic in our approach to using AI within our membership businesses. So I just want to share a little snippet of that roundtable call where I talk about the three things that I really want every membership owner to understand, if you don't already know, about AI, to give that framing, give that context for how we should be incorporating it into our business. So here's that little sample from our roundtable discussion on AI for memberships. That kind of brings me into some of the things I want to share. And the main thing being remembering that ChatGPT and all these AI tools, their business model is not the one that we are accustomed to in terms of the stuff that we usually use to research, to brainstorm and all that sort of stuff. Like, I think everyone assumes if they're using something like ChatGPT or Claude or any of these tools, that the modus operandi of these platforms is to give you the best answer. It is to give you the most accurate research, the most, you know, streamlined, optimized code. It's not. Their business model is not quality. Their business model is your happiness. This is why they compliment you so much. This is why they always tell you that your strategy, oh, that's an incredible strategy. What an amazing, amazing question. Like ChatGPT is the brown-nosing office assistant who relies on you to just get paid more and more and more by telling you what you want to hear. Because of course their monetization model is subscription. And so they want you to be happy. They obviously want to make sure that they're giving you an answer. They're giving you what you're asking for, but ensuring that the quality of what they're giving you is at the absolute highest level is not where they make their money. They do not make their money from being the best tool for the job. It makes its money by making you feel good, by making you feel happy. And because of that, it will lie. Because it's not built in to critique itself by default. It'll do it if you tell it to. It's not built in to say, no, you're wrong, or, you know, I wouldn't do that if I was you. So I think that's one of the most important distinctions that I see people missing, just taking everything as read, taking everything for granted, and just assuming if it comes from ChatGPT, it's accurate. Because it is a people-pleasing tool, it is a very, very confident liar. Like most of these tools will lie with absolute confidence, even when confronted. I still recall, I think the first time that really hit home for me is I set a task with a very specific word count. And it so clearly just visually came back very short of that word count. And I asked it how many words it was, and it told me, I think I said, give me 1,000 words. It gave me 300. I asked it, how many words? 300. What was the word count I asked for? 1,000. Have you hit the word count? 1,000? Yes. Okay. Is 300 less than 1,000? Yes. Did you give me 300 when I asked for 1,000? Yes. Have you accomplished the task? Yes. So it's just so, like, it is so confident in its responses to you, and it doesn't want to create any sort of friction. So remembering that in everything that you do, remembering the importance of not only applying your own critical eye, of not over-relying on it, of not taking the research as granted, as accurate, and of remembering that if it's making you feel, well, you know what, everything I'm doing actually is really, really, it's obviously all really right because, you know, Claude told me, or ChatGPT ran it through that, and, you know, the feedback was great, and it gave me examples, and it cited stats that supported it. It's not designed to be impartial. AI tools are very, very, very firmly on your side. And just want to make you happy. So that's definitely a key thing to remember when we're using it. I would also say that as this becomes more prolific, like, I don't think we're going to have a period where people are suddenly using ChatGPT and Claude and all that more than they are to create content and all that. So obviously we're all facing the challenges of, if we're creating content as part of our offerings, if we're creating content to market, then there's a lot more noise, there's a lot more slop out there. I don't think there's going to be a continuous trend upwards of the amount of poor quality AI generated content that's out there. I think we are at a tipping point now. I think most people who know that they can use AI to be lazy are already using AI to be lazy. And I think right now, social media platforms are starting to put the guardrails in place. They're starting to de-promote AI-generated content within algorithms. Platforms like YouTube are starting to demonetize AI-generated content. So I think we're at the peak of, there's so much messy noise and slop out there generated by AI. I do think that we're at the peak of that, but it still has significant ramifications for anyone who is trading on knowledge. If you have a membership that is just educational, that is just content, that doesn't have a perspective, that doesn't have a human aspect, even if it's just your point of view, your principles, your values, as well as your presence, I do think that those memberships are going to struggle a little bit more in the future. So I think This just reinforces how important the human aspect of the membership experience is, particularly in online learning, because we can't rely on the fact that we know that our content is better than someone can get from AI, because your audience don't know that. And someone can get a step-by-step action plan of how to solve a problem from an AI tool faster than they can log into your membership or log into your courses. And they aren't discerning or informed enough to know the difference in quality. So we need to give something more than just education. We can't just have the best courses, the best training. Like, that's not enough anymore. We need to make sure that we're integrating the human element into the educational experience. And the final thing that I would mention that I do think everyone needs to keep in mind, just based on a lot of the conversation and discourse that I'm seeing out there about AI, is obviously search engines now, they've kind of transformed from being search engines to answer engines, right? It's no longer the job of Google to give people the best websites that they can go to get the answer to the question. Google, being all the search engines, are giving the answer themselves. And they've been shifting that way over the last 5-6 years anyway, but they are firmly there now. Search engines aren't for searching websites anymore. Search engines are for getting an answer. And so a lot of what I'm seeing marketers talk about is the need to structure your content in a way to ensure that you get recommended by ChatGPT, you get recommended by Claude. And I think my main caution for people around this is that a mention by a ChatGPT tool, a GPT, is nowhere near the same as a search engine listing. Like, ChatGPT citing your website is not equal to your page, your website appearing page one in Google. So a lot of marketers I'm seeing are equating the two, and they're kind of telling people, hey, content marketing is still as powerful as it's ever been, but now it's just a case of making sure that you cater towards the AI tools, that you cater towards these so that they'll reference you. But the context really matters, because someone's getting a full answer from an AI tool, they're not as likely to actually click through to the website. Like, click-through rates on AI answers are not a fraction of what they were for search engine listings. So just because I'm seeing so many people kind of being like, I need to optimize all my blog content for AI, it's still good to get mentioned, but it's not like for like. Anyone whose traffic's dropped because of how search has changed, it's not going to get back to where it was by feeding AI engines, because they are not in the business of sending their traffic elsewhere. All right, I hope you found that useful. Again, it's just one of those things that when we were talking about this in the roundtable call, I just kind of felt, you know what, I want to get this out there to the wider audience. It's not exactly mind-blowing. I don't consider myself an expert on AI, but from so many conversations I'm having, so much marketing hype that I'm seeing around AI, I did feel that it's really important to take a step back, get some context, get some clarity and understanding on some of these key things that are easy to overlook, easy to misconstrue, and easy to forget in terms of the role AI is playing within our businesses. So I hope you found today's episode useful. If you want to take part in these monthly roundtable discussions, get yourself into Membership Academy, where not only will you get access to this phenomenally experienced and knowledgeable community, but also you get our full training library, private coaching with me, pre-made templates, courses, workshops, Q&As, and all the things that you need to launch, run, grow, scale a successful, sustainable membership business. That's it from me for this week. Thanks so much for joining me for today's episode. I'll be back again next week with another installment of the Membership Geeks Podcast. Bye for now. If you enjoyed this week's episode of the Membership Geeks Podcast, we invite you to check out membershipacademy.com. Membership Academy is the original membership about memberships, and it's the essential resource for anyone at any stage of starting, growing, and running a successful online membership business. Whether you're still trying to figure out what your idea is going to be and you need some help making it a reality, or whether your website is already up and running and you're looking for ways to grow and attract new members,
then Membership Academy can help you to get to the next level. Not only do you get access to our step-by-step membership roadmap, our extensive training library, and exclusive member-only discount and tools, you'll also become part of our supportive, active community of membership owners that will help you along the way in your journey with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All of this and more make Membership Academy the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow a successful membership business. Check it out and join the community at membershipacademy.com.